Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Hi.
Here's John Williams.
Tis me. Back into the saddle from 1 to 3 on WGN Radio. I took Friday off. Did you miss me?
Lord have mercy.
I did Steve Cochran's morning show for that day. That messed up my weekend. I'm back now and happy to be with you weekdays 1 to 3 right here on WGN Radio on Facebook. Like me at WGN King John. I think we're having fun on my Facebook page today, and we'll pay it off in the 2 o'clock hour. I asked you to tell me what is the song or songs that will put you in a better mood, that will calm you. They said you should listen to 78 minutes of music a day. I would prefer you listen to more WGN talk radio. But they say somehow find more time to listen to more music and be prescriptive about it. Don't just listen to anything, but find music that is calming or peaceful or joyful or happy to you, and that works, according to some scientists in England. And I thought, well, there are some songs that when I listen to really put me in a good mood. And in fact, Brenda and I and my sons and one of my and my daughter-in-law were at our place last night. We were listening to various songs for different reasons, and the conversation got animated and chatty and happy. We were drinking wine too, but whatever. So maybe a little music in your life is not a bad idea. So I said the song that always puts me in a good mood, Steve, is Spiral Staircase, I Love You More Today Than Yesterday.
Oh, okay.
But not as much as tomorrow.
Well, you just killed our mood, but I get it.
Yeah. I won't sing for the rest of the show, he said. But I'm wondering what yours is.
So now, you said that I have one. I know I have one.
Well, only because I thought everybody does. Do you, if I put it to you that way, have one?
Since you played that song, it made me think of Now That I Found You, I Can't Let You Go. Baby, now that I found you, I can. I love that song.
You know the thing I did to that song? You just did to that song.
I know. Totally guilty.
So, but that's the thing, too. It's a little infectious, isn't it? And you do find yourself smiling. On my Facebook page, WGN King John, I asked you, what is that song for you? And we'll feature some of them in the 2 o'clock hour. There's a new book out by Joe Ricketts. How about that? The president is trumpeting Joe Ricketts' book. It's about how he became an international zillionaire and owns the Cubs and TD Ameritrade just from modest beginnings in Nebraska, which got me to thinking for our Monday Mega Pros quiz in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll do books from Chicago or Chicagoans. Steve, I'll give you two, and then we'll do this later on. Are you ready? About the 1893 Columbian World's Exposition and the mass murderer who stalked the crowds coming to Chicago, Eric Larson wrote what book? Bertrand just dialed away.
City in the White, Devil in the
Devil,
White City.
Yeah.
City in the White Devil, yeah. How about this one? This, this is kind of a fun one. Where does it go? Before he was famous children's book author, this Chicagoan was a cartoonist for Playboy magazine.
Shel Silverstein?
Yeah, how about them apples? Okay, so now you know how to play the game.
They have cartoons in Playboy?
They...
What? They had great cartoons in Playboy, or so I'm told.
Interesting. You learn something new every day.
You really didn't know that?
With no, right I swear Playboy. To God.
All right. That'll all be a little later on.
Lauren doesn't strike me as someone who looks through Playboy magazines.
I don't know if women do. I kind of thought women did just out of curiosity's sake. You know, like, what are the guys looking at?
Yeah, but that's not one of those magazines laying around that you can just thumb through because
so
of curiosity.
One? Yeah. One used to be delivered to one of the talk show hosts here. One of the iconic, famous talk show hosts. I'm sure I can say, it doesn't matter, it was Roy Leonard. And never mind that his son is in our halls all the time and does a terrific podcast with us and talks to Steve and I frequently on the radio. It used to come to Roy's office, and he might not have been the only one, and I'm sure it was, you know, because of authors and articles and stuff like that. So we would get it, too. And
it doesn't exist anymore, does it, in print?
I don't even know.
I don't think it does.
Thing. The whole thing seems like cartoons and Playboy magazines seem pretty antiquated right now. for what it's worth. By the way, Steve, I've been reading, instead of Playboy magazine, The Body, A Guide for Occupants by Bill Bryson. I noticed it's on the New York Times bestseller list, zoomed right to there. It's about the marvel of the human being, the body that you and I inhabit, and all kinds of fun little details about it. For instance, you know that little snail-shaped tube inside your ear called the cochlea? You remember that. How big is that thing? I always thought it was maybe the size of a walnut. He says in this book here that you could fit the cochlea.
Size of a walnut?
Well, I don't know how big it is in there. It seems to me like it's got some work to do. It says here that the cochlea, which is filled with 2,700 delicate hair-like filaments.
I'm going to say it's the size of a caper.
Is no bigger than a sunflower seed. And the three bones that you know about, you've got
the hammer, the sickle, and the scythe?
The anvil or something like that. He said that all three of those bones would fit on a shirt button. That's how small the inner workings of the ear are, and yet the sound they're able to reproduce is remarkable. And then he's talked about our speech and how we're able to talk. I mean, we take it for granted. There's some smart mammals out there, dogs and apes, and they may have something to say, but they literally don't have the mechanics to do it. So it was a fascinating thing about how it is that we, among all species, are able to communicate the way we are. But then he talked about some of the problems. He said stuttering is one of the cruelest and least understood of everyday maladies. It affects 1% of adults and 4% of children. For reasons unknown, 80% of the sufferers of stuttering are male. 80%. The victims have included a great many distinguished figures: Aristotle, Virgil, Charles Darwin, Lewis Carroll, Winston Churchill, John Updike, Marilyn Monroe, King George VI of Great Britain, the guy that Colin Firth played in The King's Speech in 2010. What a great movie that was. And then he writes this: no one knows what provokes it or why different stutterers stumble over different letters or words in different positions in a sentence. It is more common among left-handers than right-handers, especially if that person was made to write right-handed. So you're a lefty and your parents go, no, I'm going to make you a righty. Life's easier for right-handers. You put the pen in the kid's right hand, more likely that kid will be a stutterer. Explain that to me. For many, the stammering miraculously ceases when they sing words or speak another language.
Meltilus. Remember Meltilus?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Or talk to themselves. The majority of speakers recover from their condition in their early teenage years. That and more fun things about the body in a book called The Body by Bill Bryson. I want to talk to you about bicycles, cars, and pedestrians in Chicago and the suburbs after this. In the last 4 weeks, three people in Chicago have been hit and killed by vehicles. It's nowhere near the rate that we're on for the year. It's an aberration, but in less than 4 weeks, three people have been hit and killed, to say nothing of the people that have been hit or nearly hit. There's an article about it in the Chicago Sun Crimes today. Says that the city's been doing more to try and get bicycle lanes and safe bicycle lanes that have a concrete or plastic barrier so that you can't even run into a car if you lose your way. Most recently, a 40-year-old man was struck early Sunday on the south side, just a day before officials are planning on, in the atrium of the Thompson Center, a memorial for the victims of traffic deaths. Here's the thing that jumped out at me. And a lot of cities are working on this, and some of them are doing a better job. San Francisco is doing a better job of protected bike lanes. The Twin Cities, New York City, all doing a better job of protected bike lanes. They talked about Carla Aiello, the 37-year-old mother and teacher we talked about a week ago at a city Catholic school, killed November 6th when a truck driver struck her while making a right turn. So she's in the bike lane on the right-hand side. The vehicle is going in the same direction as her, and the truck is going to make a right-hand turn, I guess, in front of her. The article says safe cycling advocates call that type of crash a right hook, where a vehicle traveling in the same direction as the cyclist turns in front of the biker. Advocates lobbied officials to pass a city ordinance that requires the city's truck fleet to be equipped with side guards which prevents someone from falling under a truck's wheels, and convex mirrors by 2026 on trucks operated by companies that operate city contracts so that they can see in that right-hand bike lane. Wait a minute. Are you telling me people making a right-hand turn across a bike lane can't see into the bike lane?
Well, I think it's because they're so high up, some of these trucks, that even a quick glance at a mirror or, you know, you can't really do the check your blind side like the rest of us because you're not really seeing all the way down, right?
Evidently. That's why, to me, Lauren, the solution is that the vehicle has the right of way. How is this not the law? If you're a bicyclist and you're riding in a bike lane, you have to yield to the vehicle turning in front of you.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that because I'm trying to figure out. We've talked about, it was torturing to talk about this, but it's as if the bicyclist never has responsibility. There's no shared responsibility. It's always the motorist. And seems like this is one of those cases where if you're coming up from behind a turning vehicle, you have to share the responsibility for not running into that vehicle.
And maybe the theory behind that, Steve, is that we need to do everything we can to protect bicycles. They're so vulnerable. So everybody else has to yield to the cyclist. The cyclist has the right of way. But I think what that empowers cyclists to do is do things more dangerous to themselves, like proceeding through that intersection when a vehicle is going to make a right-hand turn in front of them, and they are least able to survive it.
I mean, if there are no, and let's take history out of it, but if you're at a corner and the light turns, and you're turning, the light turns green so you can turn right, and then a bike is coming up from behind you and,
yep,
and strikes,
yep,
you as you T-bones you in a way,
yep,
how can you be responsible for that?
And you are. And I don't understand that for 2 minutes. If you're a cyclist and want to explain something like this to me, or you drive around the city a lot, I'd love to hear what your reaction to this is. My number is 312-981-7200. Oh, look, all our phone lines are busy. But it just seems to, you know, and this is nobody taking sides. I'm not saying cyclists are bad or cars are bad or pedestrians are bad. We're all trying to live in the same very tight spaces in Chicago, and everybody would do better to yield to everybody more. But I think cyclists have too much authority on those roads. Adam, you go first. You're on WGN. Hi, Adam.
Hi, how you doing?
Talk to me, man. What's up?
Yeah, I experience this a lot, quite a bit, you know, with the commuters that hop on the bike and in my town and, you know, blow the stop sign completely and just completely ignore it, not even slow down to attempt to slow down, and expect that we as drivers of a motor vehicle are going to, you know, yeah, obviously we'd like to pay attention. Nobody wants to get hurt, you know, but it's got to go both ways. Where, you know, bicyclists have to pay attention and be vigilant, as well as motorists, too.
Are you,
you know, it can't be.
What do you do that's always got you driving around town?
No, it's just in general, just the train station by my house is all, you know, there's a lot of commuters that come off of there and grab the bikes and just head out and just blow the stop sign completely, just completely disregard it. So it's kind of, you know, seems one way, you know, it's, I hear a lot of the preaching about, you know, same road, same rules, but if you're not going to stop at a stop sign,
yeah,
and just completely ignore it, then, you know, that's kind of not ignorant on your part, but basically, you know, it's dangerous on your part.
It's so frustrating if you're a bicyclist, though. You're at a stop sign or a red light, and you can blow right through it fine. You know, and that's why you're riding a bike, because you don't want to be in a car. And yet, really, you're right. You're supposed to stop at stop signs, and you're supposed to stop at red lights. And
yeah, I mean, if you're going and there's nobody around, yeah, I've done it myself. Yeah, if there's nobody, yep, around, yeah, you're going to go right through. But if there's other people around, other cars, it's, you know, kind of in your best interest to pay attention as well and not expect that somebody else is going to stop for you. You know, God forbid somebody's not paying attention and they hit you. You know, they're going to feel just as bad. And, you know, God forbid something worse happens. You know, that comes about that, too.
Yeah, that young man that killed that woman a couple weeks ago was devastated. I appreciate your phone call, Adam. Thanks for jumping in here.
Thanks.
Yeah, have a good day. 312-981-7200. You can text also. Hey, Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello.
Hey.
So a large semi-truck, especially a long one, always has a sign on the back of it that says makes wide right turns. A long truck, when it's turning right, the rear end will actually swing across. You can be standing at the front of a bike lane before crossing the intersection, and a truck turning right could actually sweep across and hit you without you even moving.
Yeah.
So we don't know that that bicycle T-boned the rear end of the truck. The bicycle may have been stopped, and a long truck turning right will sweep right across the bike lane.
Yeah.
You'll see the rear tires of trucks roll over the curb all the time because they can't make the turn without swinging wide.
Yeah, I know the scene you're talking about. And in this case, it was a dump truck. It wasn't a semi, but I get your point. Steve, you were going to say something?
Well, it was my recollection, and I want to be careful not to. I had an assumption in my head of how it happened, but it was my recollection. She was moving at the time, too.
Yeah, as it was mine.
But again,
and we're not talking
about
we
don't
her
need to talk.
Per se, right? We're just talking about this whole scene in general, and I think that the bicyclists should be yielding to the cars. Joe, you're on WGN. What did you want to say, Joe? You're on the air.
Yeah, I think a big step would be licensing bicycle riders, adult bicycle riders who are riding the street. We're always looking for new revenue streams. Well, that's one. we're subsidizing. Auto drivers are subsidizing all these road changes for them, and they're definitely needed. The bike lanes are definitely needed. It's a huge improvement having them separated. It's a huge improvement, but they should share the cost net. And also for having them licensed, well, then you can issue tickets to them. Then you can see who's who, which ones are running red lights, which ones aren't, and they can just have a record, and just like a car, at a certain point you've run too many red lights, boy, you can't have a license no more.
How about that? Thanks for the phone call, Joe, and I guess you'd literally have to have a little plate on your helmet or your bicycle or something like that. I'm not working for the city to make more revenue. I think they get us enough, but I get your point, and I appreciate your call. I'm going to Jamie next. You're on WGN. Hi, Jamie. Jamie, you're on the air.
Hi, John. I was just listening to you about the bicycle deaths, and I just wanted to tell you, I live in Lakeview, probably not too far from you.
Yeah.
And I see pedestrians all the time just crossing the street when there's a car, you know, coming at 30 miles an hour, and they try to stop. But the people get in front of the cars, not using common sense, knowing that, you know, not everybody's paying attention. The same thing with the bikes.
Oh, yeah, in Lakeview particularly. I mean, maybe it's this way in Roscoe Village and elsewhere, but I'm telling you, in Lakeview, Halstead and Broadway, they're just playing with the cars. It's amazing how much stupidity, I was going to say courage, some of these people have. I appreciate your phone call. We're out of time. WGN Radio News is coming your way at 1:30. Afterwards, the Three Bears lament to cool jazz. That's coming up.
This is the pile of steaming you-know-what that the 2019 100-year season of the Bears has been reduced to.
This game was a joke, my friend.
On the sideline, Trubisky and Nagy having a moment, and Nagy putting his arms around the quarterback.
It looked like he was crying. Dan and I were looking, I said,
he might have
crying?
Been. He might have been.
I hope he wasn't crying. I mean, there's no crying in football.
Our offense is set up not to score touchdowns. Let me say it again, not to score touchdowns.
There's no crying in football, but I think he was crying on the sidelines.
Now, the last time I checked, there's four downs. When you're on offense, you have four downs.
I think Trubisky was crying.
Okay.
I think he was crying on the sidelines. So our kicker is, what would you call it? An equal opportunity misser. He misses them left and right. I'm telling you,
sometimes
this is nuts.
Dan, I have your back. Dan, I've got everybody's back here.
Thank you, Obi.
You love me, I love you guys.
You are a good looking guy. And I'm a good looking guy.
We're all three good looking guys.
I have WGN's back, and we love them all because we all work together because everybody's got everybody's back. Will you get rid of this kid?
Gentlemen,
been real.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's the unfortunate thing. It is real.
Another edition of this Bears fan's life, Chicago. You knew it wasn't going to be pretty after last week. We won and they were unhappy. So this week, not happy. And boy, we're just finding new. Give the Bears this. We're finding new ways to disappoint each week. Sometimes we play well and lose. Sometimes we play badly and lose. Sometimes we play poorly and win, but that's not all that satisfying. And then this week, we missed field goals. Lots of bad things happened. Well, anyway, enough about that. So Thanksgiving is coming late this year. And if you're one of those people that says Christmas season begins at Thanksgiving and goes to Christmas, I'm a traditionalist like this, then the whole Christmas season is shorter. I think that puts a little more pressure on our friends at the Salvation Army to make the money they make to do the most good. I have a virtual kettle that I'll start talking more about on Thanksgiving, but already three people have made donations. Whoop, whoop. Commissioner Barry Swanson is in our studio. He's the divisional commander of the Salvation Army's Metropolitan Division and an old Peoria acquaintance of mine. Barry, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. Good to see you again.
Yeah, refresh my memory. Was it last in Peoria that you and I laid eyes on each other?
It would have been, yep, back in the early 90s.
You know how I fell in love with the Salvation Army, fell into acquaintanceship of the Salvation Army, was I would drive by Northwoods Mall on War Memorial Drive. They had a giant Christmas tree, and they were lighting it up, or they had a thermometer on the side, and it was in association with how close to their goal they were getting. Every morning I'd go by, and I'd see how high up the thermometer was going, and they get to 100%. I talked about that on the radio, and then we started talking with you folks on the air, and the next thing you know, every year we would do a joke book at the radio station I worked at and turn the proceeds from that over to the Salvation Army. And whenever I personally gave or generated money on a radio station for you guys, I always felt like it was doing the most good, that if ever there was a good return on the dollar, if ever with confidence you could give to somebody and know they would do right by that, it was the Salvation Army. I trust you all are still doing well. Huh?
We really are. This is an exciting time to be serving people, and there's a lot of need out there, so our work never goes away.
Yeah, what is that? What would you say is, because I think people think of you at Christmas time for presents and coats, what's the main thing the Salvation Army even does?
Well, we have evolved over the years to have a special conscience, I think, for serving the poor wherever we happen to be, whatever community, whatever state, whatever area, and, you know, literally around the world. But speaking for here in Chicago, we've really got our antenna up to try to serve the needs of those who are homeless, those who are hungry, and those who have are just living on the margins.
So food and shelter are probably primary, huh?
Yeah, that's a big deal. We do our homeless feeding outreach, and then we have our sheltering program that we're involved in big time.
I was talking to one of your colleagues last week or 2 weeks ago, and we talked a little bit about the Prisoner Reform Project, the Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Project, the Community Center. But it's even more basic than that. It really is sometimes about just making sure somebody who's missed a paycheck now has food.
Right.
I mean, I suppose sometimes people who are otherwise employed knock on your door and say, I'm embarrassed. I need groceries.
Absolutely. And, you know, we conduct our business in such a way that people can do that without embarrassment or without shame. And we just hold everybody in very high dignity, and we do the best we can to really make sure that their needs are met, especially this time of the year. Sometimes it is a life and death situation, and we can come alongside and really serve people in that way.
And they have these mobile canteens too, right?
Right.
Can you just talk a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, the mobile canteen program is connected with our emergency disaster services effort. And so they are stationed strategically around the metropolitan area, and they are on call to serve at all kinds of events, disaster-type events where people are in need, or we can serve first responders. But also we use them to oftentimes provide food and necessities during severe weather crisis and other types of situations that arise.
What got you into the Salvation Army?
Well, you could say I was born into it. I'm a product of the South Side of Chicago, and my parents were members of the Salvation Army Church on the far South Side. So I grew up as a young boy going to church at the Salvation Army, and as I grew up and as I went to college, I realized that I really wanted to do something with my life other than earn my own living. I wanted to do something that I felt God was calling me to do, and that natural door for service for me was to be a Salvation Army officer.
So then what would that mean you'd do then?
Well, after I went to the training college, which is right here on the north side near Wrigley Field, and a two-year training program, I was commissioned as an officer and ordained as a minister in the Salvation Army, and then my wife and I spent the next 15, 16 years going to various Salvation Army local churches, congregations around the Midwest, and we were busy preaching the gospel and meeting human needs in Jesus' name.
Kind of like in the military, too. I was an Air Force brat, and every few years we had to move. Was that your childhood, too, or your young adulthood?
Well, that certainly is the experience of our family, yes. We moved around pretty regularly, and our kids grew up with that experience and had the benefit of having a lot of great friends around the country.
What's a real rewarding experience for you in your capacity now or in the past?
Well, now I'm serving as the divisional commander for a metropolitan division here in Chicago. And as I come back to the city in which I was born and I grew up, I really feel greatly blessed and privileged to be able to look at the Salvation Army, not from the standpoint of who we have been, but who we are now and who we can become, to really keep in front of the need of human beings in our communities and really look for progressive ways to continue to serve and do a great job of that.
Yeah. I so wonder if somebody like you misses the sort of day-to-day human interaction. You're probably now in more board meetings and budget meetings and things than you'd want to be. Maybe you'd rather be out on the street or at the shelter or at the community center, you know?
Well, I find plenty of time to do that, but I have to make a conscious effort for that. I think that the heart of every Salvation Army officer that I've ever known or ever met has always been to be there with people and in their deepest needs and be able to just help them in the most practical ways possible.
And maybe we're all guilty of taking the Salvation Army for granted. We say, well, if there's a fire, they're miraculously there. Or if it's midnight and I don't know that it's midnight, but if it's in the evening and you drive through some neighborhoods, you might actually see the Salvation Army serving food to people. Those are genuine expenses. Gas, food, personnel. I mean, it doesn't just happen. You have to write checks and bills have to be paid. What's the budget for your division?
Well, the budget for the division is right around $40 million. And it's a big budget, a lot of money to raise. And a lot of that will, about 60%, at least 60% of that will come in during November and December through the Christmas effort, both the kettles, the mail appeal, and the online giving, whatever options are available to people. But this is really the time when we have to make our budget for 12 months of services.
It's got to be maddening, right? $40 million of philanthropy all year long. And by golly, you'd better hit it in about 5 weeks, right?
It puts some pressure on.
And, you know, shame on all of us for not remembering that. But if this works, then okay, we'll do it that way. So what's the campaign goal for this year then?
At Christmas this year, we want to raise $30 million, and $3 million of that hopefully will come in through the Red Kettle Drive.
Red Kettle Drive. Does that include the actual kettles and the virtual kettles like mine?
Yeah, that's the online stuff as well as the money in the bucket.
Okay, I think my goal is $30,000 of the $30 million. So what's that, 1%? $30 million, 10% would be $3 million, 1% would be $300,000. So I'm a tenth of a percent, $30,000. That doesn't sound like a lot. $30,000
sounds like a lot to me.
Yeah. It's daunting to me, and imagine what it is for you. If you go to the WGN Radio page on the John, it says shows right on the top. Click on the shows, and I'll appear. Click on me and you'll see a way to donate. Last time, folks did make a donation after one of your colleagues were here, so hopefully you can do that right now. Is this a good time to go to WGNradio.com? Click on the John Williams page, and there you can make a donation of $25. Or I still think it'd be swell if just somebody went, you know what? I'm going to cover the nut right now and made a $30,000 donation.
That would be amazing.
Do people still put gold coins in the kettles?
They sure do. Every year, it seems like somebody somewhere has that lying around, and they decide I want to do something good with it, and they throw it in one of our buckets. And it's always it's a big surprise and a big shout out when that happens in some kettle somewhere.
What else can I do for you right now, Barry Swanson, Divisional Commander, Salvation Army, Metropolitan Division? Let's get those kettles going. What else can I do to help?
Well, you're doing it right now by just reminding people that the Salvation Army is here, and we're out there to serve people every day. We do it, I think, quite quietly, and we really put our efforts in the quality of our service, and we just want to be known as those people who have been around for a long time, over 135 years in Chicago, and we're going to stick around for a while.
One of our major sponsors just called in, and he wants to say something to you. I don't think I want to put him on, but I will. Barry Swanson is here. He's the divisional commander of the Salvation Army Metropolitan Division. You'll hear some of our friends from the Army between now and Christmas as we help them make their annual goal. And I have a virtual kettle at WGNradio.com. It's on the John Williams page. And Barry, what did I say my goal was?
$30,000.
One of our annoying sponsors is David Hochberg. I mean, sponsors. What did I say? David, are you there?
You said annoying. You said annoying, which is pretty good description. My only comment is this, John. Last year we started out, when I came in, you're like, we want to raise 15. And I'm like, for love of God, that's way too low.
Yeah.
And we hit 30. And now you're starting out at 30, which is way too low.
Yeah.
And we got to go to at least 50. So that I'm going to.
No. No, go. I'll let you finish, Dave. Go ahead and finish that thought.
No, I think we need to set the bar a little higher because it's been a good year. The economy's good. People are very caring. WGN listeners are very, very giving. And I think we're setting the bar too low at 30. And you know I'm going to be in there to help you get the money out of your listeners. And I think I get an extra 20 G's out of them when I'm in there, you know, helping you raise some funds.
Yeah. I thought that $30,000 last year was a miracle. And I didn't know that it would be wise to ask for it twice. Producer Elif just whispered in my ear and said, well, we did raise it to $35,000, but nobody in their right mind, and that would be you, David, would say $50,000. That is not my stated goal this year.
That's mine. So that's why we're going to be at 50, Commander. Don't worry about it. We'll get you the 50 grand, and I'm going to be in there to help Johnny raise the money. That's it. I got to go find a parking ticket. So I wish everybody a happy holidays, and I can't wait to get some money for the Salvation Army with you when I'm on the air with you, John.
God Talk bless you, later, sir. Bud. See you, David. Thank you. There he goes. That's that guy I was telling you about. You see what I'm talking about now?
I sure do. I like that optimism.
He's unrelenting, but he's also got his heart in the right place. So the Wednesday or Thursday before Christmas, we're going to do a special blowout for you guys and see how much money we can't get in the kettle. And Lou Manfredini's going to help us out, and David Hochberg, too. And you can make a donation right now. Just go to WGNradio.com, click on the John Williams page, and I'm right there. Well, Merry Christmas in advance, sir. It's not too late to make a donation. I'm telling people, go to WGNradio.com, John Williams page. You can make a donation right there. I also saw, by the way, that some of the kettles will, what is it, take credit cards, or you can use your phone and tap them? Is that right?
Yep, that's right. We've got some technology going, and many of our kettle locations, we're trying to roll it out to all of them eventually, but we're starting to do it. And if you've got a smartphone, Apple or Android of a late edition model, you can just tap the tag that's there, and the screen will come up, and you can make a donation of your choice. And it'll go right on your record, and it'll go right into our bank account.
Now, not all the kettles are that equipped, eh?
Not all at this point, but eventually we hope to see it go that way. And we're recognizing that the economy demands that we become more digitally savvy in how we do this.
Yeah, no kidding. Some stores don't even want your cash. I've always recommended that people, as you go out in the city or suburbs at Christmas time, maybe it's not your habit to have some few loose bills or a pocket of change, but you know you're going to find one of those kettles. So just make it your habit of having that loose money handy. And if you're lucky enough to fall upon one of these digital kettles, kettles that will take your money.
That's correct, yep.
Then by all means, you can make the donation that way too. Okay, Barry, thanks for coming into our studio. It's nice to see you.
Thank you, John. Great to see you again.
You bet you, sir. It's 1:52. This is WGN. After the news, there's two things we're going to accomplish here. One is Congressman or woman Jan Schakowsky is going to join us. She's from the north side of the city. She has a House resolution, and I think it's going to do two things. One is, the way we have in Chicago, expunge your record if you have a marijuana offense. But also, Steve, maybe you know more about this than I do, make it a federal law to legalize marijuana, right? Like these recreational pot stores have trouble with banking. And
right, because they're contrary to federal law.
Which has never made any sense to me, right? I guess federal government's one thing and states are individually another thing.
Well, I mean, no, not really. Federal government is supposed to supersede it, but the federal government has never put the hammer down.
So are you saying that some narcotics agent could go into, stand out in front of one of these recreational pot stores and make an arrest? You don't know the answer
well,
to that.
Well, no, I'm assuming they, but it's just not a priority for the Justice Department to pick that fight right now.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially, it's weird, isn't it, that the state says it's legal. We had a big thing at City Hall on Friday. The big bozo drum turned, and they pulled out names of happy businesses that will be able to set up shops right here in River City. It's against federal law to do that. So now maybe we ought to sync the two. Jan Schakowsky will say hi to us about that. And then I'll tell you more about that study, which we were talking about earlier in the show. You should be listening to 78 minutes of music a day. Lauren Lapka, do you have a song or an artist that when you listen to automatically puts a smile on your face?
I actually have two.
Okay, I'm interested.
Okay, so the first one would be What I Got by Sublime.
Got it.
And then the second one, actually, a texter made me reminded me of it, but Valerie by Amy Winehouse.
A lot of her songs.
Oh,
isn't
my
that
gosh,
funny because
so good.
Her life is so tragic, and her death was too. Somebody texted in, Me and Mrs. Jones by Amy Winehouse is every bit as good as the original. John, You'll Never Walk Alone. Rain in the Summertime by The Alarm. Bill Withers, Lovely Day. I love that song. And the list goes on. So we're asking you on my Facebook page, you can text in too, 312-981-7200. Tell me what that song is. We'll listen to some of them, and I'll talk more with you about that study. But it probably doesn't take a whole bunch of scientists to say, listen, if you're listening to a upbeat, happy song, it will literally improve your mental health. That's a thing. Kevin Powell is stretching over in sports land. He's getting ready to join Anna and Ro, but I'll ask him to chime in too. Steve, did you say what your song was or songs?
I found you, I can't let you go.
Baby, now that I found you. And then you started to sing it and then sort of brought the joy we all have for that down. Is that right?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be happy. I don't really care about your happiness.
What is that? Producer Elif, what's yours?
Everything Now by Arcade Fire or Sprawl 2 by Arcade Fire.
How's that go?
Na 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 na. Na 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 na. All right, that's enough.
Got it. 156 on WGN.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Yep, I'm still doing it.
Here's John Williams.
Haven't quit. This is John. We're in the Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago. I really appreciate you tuning in. Remember, too, I always love it when you call. Or text 312-981-7200. We're here weekdays 1 to 3 on Facebook. Really busy on Facebook today. WGN King John. Quick note here. I said just before the news, there's a movie my family went to see. Brenda and I did with Griffin, our son, over the weekend, and I thought it was really, really good. It's called Marriage Story. It stars Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver and some other folks, but mostly the two of them, and it's about the breakup of their marriage. It's a marriage story. I haven't given anything away. It's about their marriage and how it dissolves and what they do about it. And I think it was Michael Phillips who said, maybe in the Tribune, something along the lines of, a lot of people are saying, wait, I don't need to go pay money for that. I'm living that. Go see this movie, he said. And I agree with him. For one thing, it's darkly it's funny in a lot of places. It's not even dark humor. It's just real humor. It's their story. And in the beginning, it's good. And then it goes bad. And then they fight and struggle and worry about who gets the kid. And where the movie really gets hard is when they bring in the attorneys, Laura Dern and Alan Alda. Alan Alda is not a young man anymore, and he is good in everything he does. He doesn't steal the movie because you can't. Driver and Johansson are so good, but I had a really warm spot in this film for Alan Alda, too. All of the performances are just fantastic. You will laugh a lot. You'll be angry in places, too. When Dean Richards was talking about it with us, on Steve Cochran's show, I filled in on Friday. I asked him if it was at all like Kramer versus Kramer. I hadn't seen it yet, and Dean said a little bit, yeah, but maybe less nuanced. That is, it's just what I described. It's about their marriage and how it breaks up. That's the movie. And he was right, and it's worth it. It's a terrific movie. It's one of the best I've seen in a while. Marriage Story. You will laugh in this film, and it's funny, too, because when we walked out, I said, okay, this is the character who I was more sympathetic with. And I don't know that we were all on the same page on that. It's just another thing for you to look forward to as you leave that film. So that's my little recommendation for you. Hey, I need somebody to do, Jen, are you going to be busy enough or too busy in the newsroom that you can't be a lifeline on our mega Chicago quiz?
I got some time. I can do it.
Okay, 312-981-7200. We've been doing this on Mondays. You're listening and living in the Chicago area. So I need you to call 312-981-7200 and take our Mega Pros Monday quiz. It'll always be about something in Chicago. It'll always be tied to something in the news. Joe Ricketts has written a new book. It's being published by Simon & Schuster. Ricketts of the Cubs fame, of Ameritrade fame. He's got a book out about how he done it. Okay, that's interesting. But it got me to thinking about other books about Chicago or by Chicagoans. So that's our category right now. Books about Chicago or by Chicagoans. You'll do better at this than you think. 312-981-7200. If you get all 10 questions right, you repeat as our reigning champion. Either way, you get the much coveted Mega Pros hoodie. All right, LFR, are we ready to hit it? In 3, 2, 1, go.
Come back to Chicago.
To Chicago.
Chicago.
Drove to Chicago.
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 Shy City. Shy City.
I'm coming home again.
Mega Pros hoodie sweatshirt is what we're playing for. Even if you lose, we're going to give it to you. Mary's going to play the game today. Hi, Mary, it's John. You're on WGN. How are you?
I'm doing well.
You much of a reader?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. I like your chances already. Here we go. You can reach out to Jen DeSalvo or Lauren Lapka for a lifeline if you feel you need a hand. You ready? Here we go.
Okay.
This Chicago author's books are about the disenfranchised in the city. Famously, he wrote, "There Are No Children Here." His latest is An American Summer. He's been on my show.
Got it.
He was on with Justin Kaufman. Who is it?
Alex Kotlowitz.
Ding, ding, ding. About the 1893 Columbian World's Exposition and mass murderer who stalked the crowds coming to Chicago, Eric Larson wrote what book?
Devil in the White City.
Is he Oak Park's most famous resident? He wrote The Old Man and the Sea and A Farewell.
Hemingway. Ernest Hemingway.
In 1992, sports writer Sam Smith wrote about the Chicago Bulls' iconic star in what book?
Michael Jordan 101. I don't know. I don't know the title.
Well, you can reach out to Lauren Lapka or Jen DeSalvo.
Jen.
For
an How about Jen?
Hey, Jen, you think you know the answer to that one?
You know, when it comes to sports, I think that Lauren Lapka is the person to talk to.
Lauren, help me.
I believe that one's the Jordan rules.
She says the Jordan rules.
The Jordan rules, correct.
Correct. Ding, ding, ding.
Thank you.
How about this one? Elizabeth Brackett of WTTW's book Pay to Play was about what jailed governor?
Rod Blagojevich.
Ding, ding, ding. Mike Royko's book about Richard J. Daley is still worth reading. It's one world word title.
Boss.
Is Boss. You're right. How about this? About the deplorable conditions in Chicago's meatpacking industry, muckraker Upton Sinclair wrote...
The Jungle.
That's correct. Okay, this one's a little more difficult. Maybe it's not. Life Itself, a Memoir, is the title of this famous Chicago...
Roger Ebert.
Correct. Before he was a famous children's book author, this Chicagoan was a cartoonist for Playboy magazine. Among his titles, Where the Sidewalk Ends.
Shel Silverstein.
This contemporary Chicago novelist started his career as a lawyer. His books have sold 30 million copies. Many have been made into movies such as Burton.
Scott Turow.
Scott Turow is correct. I'm out of questions, lady. You're
wow,
kind of,
she killed it.
She's kind of killing it.
You're amazing. Wow, she was fast, too.
Yeah, she reads a little bit. Here's one that...
I'm sorry, Jen.
Here's one I did not ask you.
Okay.
Let me see where I put it. A rogue sociologist takes to the streets in Sudhir Venkatesh's book, where he became what for a day? This is weird. There's a guy named Sudhir Venkatesh. He wrote a book that's subtitled, A Rogue Sociologist Takes to the Streets. He became what for a day to write this book?
Homeless?
Kind of. He was a gang leader. Gang leader for a day.
Okay.
But that was the bonus question. Let's give it up for this lady. Woo, woo,
yeah,
woo.
Wow. Probably the best yet.
Mary, what's the best book you've read lately, Mary?
You know what? I just read a real short one that was from the basis of the movie Can You Ever Forgive Me? Lee Israel.
Oh yeah, sure. I was no.
Did you see that movie?
I sure did.
About the forgery. The book is real short, John, and it's funny. Read it.
Is it about her or by her? Because she was
a
real.
Sure, it's a story. It's a true story. It's by her, and it's what that movie is.
She's passed away, right? She's not alive anymore, is she?
Recently, yeah, I think not too long ago.
Hey, listen, talk to producer Elif off the air. We'll get you that Mega Pros hoodie, okay?
Oh, great. Thank you.
Thanks for doing our Mega Monday. I haven't come up with a name for it, but it's our Chicago quiz.
I don't remember what day it was.
I trust you are smiling now. A bit of research done in, hold on. Is it England, producer Ella? Says a new study from Deezer reveals listening to music that covers feelings that are uplifting, relaxing, sad, motivating, and angry for at least 78 minutes per day is helpful. The study looked at a cohort of 7,500 people and how listening to music affected their day. The breakdown looks like this. 14 minutes of uplifting music to feel happy. You should listen to 16 minutes of calming music to feel relaxed. 16 minutes of music to overcome sadness. 15 minutes of motivating music to aid in concentration. And 17 minutes of music to help manage anger. And when I play that song by Spiral Staircase, that to me makes me feel happy. It makes me feel relaxed. I overcome stress. I don't know if it motivates me to aid in concentration, but I'm in a better place. It certainly helps me overcome sadness. Don't know if it helps me manage anger, but how angry can you be when you're listening to Spiral Staircase? So we asked you to tell us what are the songs that help you. I do not listen to 78 minutes of music a day. I probably listen to 5. Elif, you probably listen to a lot more music than I do.
Yeah, definitely more than 5 minutes, but probably like an hour at the most.
How about you, Lauren? You listen to a lot of music during the day?
I listen to music while I get ready for work.
So while you're sitting there prepping, you've got music on in the background?
Mm-hmm.
I used to do that when I would do homework as a kid, throw on an album. I think that aids in concentration. It didn't seem to hurt me. I was able to graduate the 9th grade.
I did that in college for sure. But you have to, again, pick the right music that it isn't so distracting, distracting enough.
Did we grab, I don't know what Lauren Lapka's song sounds like. What was the one that you said helps you or that you like?
I had two. So one was What I Got by Sublime, and then the other was Valerie by Amy Winehouse.
Oh, yeah. Did you grab either of those, producer Elif?
No, I didn't have time. Sorry.
Not yet. All right. So what are some of the ones people are calling in or texting in and suggesting?
I'll just play it for you.
Go.
Hey, where did we go? Days when the rains came down in the hollow, playing a new game, laughing and running, hey, hey, skipping and jumping in the misty morning fog with our hearts that thumping and you.
Yeah, that one works too. Texters include these: Fooled Around and Fell in Love by Elvin Bishop. John, I'm sure I'm not the first to mention this recommendation, Mr. Blue Sky by ELO. The Star Wars main theme makes me happy. That's not helping me. No way. I'm happy for the franchise. I watched a couple of the films. They were swell. But that music would not put me in a...
You know, it always gives me goosebumps.
Really? Yeah. Really? Goosebumps?
Mm-hmm.
Hokey smoke.
Ba-da-da-da, and you're like, ooh, I'm so excited.
Songs by the Fifth Dimension. Yeah, that's just it doesn't mention one per se, but yeah, I'd say so. John, my feel-good song to pep me up on a slow day is American Patrol by Glenn Miller. A couple of you have some Frank Sinatra songs on there, like Fly Me to the Moon. And there's plenty. Sinatra, nobody's better at a sad song than Sinatra, but his peppy, upbeat stuff works too. So I'll second that. 312-981-7200. You want to call or text? What's the song for you? I just think this is fun to even think about. I mean, really, times is tough. Are you doing this once in a while? Just saying, I'm just going to put on Bill Withers, Lovely Day, Rain in the Summertime by The Alarm. I don't know some of these songs. I sure do know Me and Mrs. Jones by Amy Winehouse.
A great playlist on Spotify to get all hopped up to is the Walt Disney World songs from all of the rides.
You're the second person to suggest that. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, or like the music that they play on Main Street USA and all of the stores, or just, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean and It's a Small World playlist.
Oh,
with
God.
All those. Yeah, just
if It's a Small World played over and over, I think I might go crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one could be a little bit much, but or like the Haunted Mansion, just to kind of drift away and pretend you're in a very happy, clean place where there's no chewing gum on anything.
Are you a Disney family?
Oh, yeah, we are. Yeah. My dog's name is Daisy because my husband's name is Donald.
That's awesome. I didn't realize that.
Oh, no.
We got married there. Mickey Mouse was at my wedding.
Wow. I didn't say, oh, no, but wow, I didn't know that much about
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We own stock, so I might as well support that.
John, I Can't Tell You Why by the Eagles, Brown Eyed Girl, Van Morrison, Something Tells Me I'm Into Something Good, Herman's Hermits. Did we grab the Trololo song by Edward Kyle? What is this, Elif? Do you know anything about this song? What are we looking at here? Hold on, Elif. We're not hearing you.
Oh, well, because my mic wasn't on. That's why. I first heard about this song in high school, and I didn't know what it was about, and I don't remember what the context was, but it was a meme, so I'll play it for you now. It just keeps going like this.
It's kind of working on me. Kind of just walking around with your elbows cocked.
Yeah, this is one of those I've heard of and I never knew what or who.
It's the Trololo song by Edward Kyle.
People used to sing it in the hallways at high in school.
Are you kidding? Really?
No, I'm not kidding.
Just doing this, huh?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sounds like one of those singing in the shower songs.
Yeah, really. And that's all. Okay, 312-981-7200. Also on my Facebook page, I'm WGN King John. The song that makes you smile or happy, researchers say, little over an hour, and it works. It improves your mental health. If you select maybe the right songs, but that's very subjective, your It's a Small World might not be mine, but if it works for you, Jen DeSalvo, I'm happy for you, so crank it up. Shall we take a couple calls? Max said what? You're on WGN. Hi, Mac. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Talk to me, man.
Yeah, well, on any time on a nice August day, Indian summer, when there's big cotton candy clouds out there and you want to meditate, Prelude to Media de Fond by Debussy, Afternoon of a Fun.
How does it go?
Da, 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 da. That was almost Bolero. I can't listen right now. Too nervous.
I think you're doing great. Have you been on the radio many times before, Mac?
Oh, yeah. I've been on the radio before. I just won something on... I listened to Radio Days on WGN at night. Carl Amari and them Monday through Friday, and then Saturday... Oh, it's a man and woman. I forget their names. And
they do
so
a great
fun.
Job. I love their show. And by the way, they're as nice in the hallways and as pretty, by the way, as they sound on the radio. That's a fun show.
It is. It's a good show. And I've won a couple of things off of a little contest.
I try it again then. Let me hear you do whatever the heck it is you're doing.
Oh, Prelude, I really can't think. I'll be very frank with you. I really wish I could tell you, but I forget it. I forget it. And it's so beautiful. It is really nice. And it just takes you back.
I'm glad you're listening. Thanks for the call.
Because I'm having a good time. Having a good time. Shooting star leaping through the sky.
Gee, Elif, whose idea was it to play a happy Queen song?
A listener's.
You too, though, right?
Sure.
2:34 on WGN, there was research done that said if you want to improve your mood, be a little strategic about it, but literally the number they came up with was 78 minutes. I'm not listening to 78 minutes of music a day, but we asked you what some of the songs are that do put you in a better mood, and if you're a little specific about it, they say it works. There are certain properties of music that affect the mind and the body. Dedicating time each day to listen to music that triggers different emotions can have a hugely beneficial impact on your well-being. Listening to happy songs increases blood flow to areas of the brain associated with reward and decreases flow to the part of the brain associated with fear. Just drive some good feelings to your brain and music can do it. All right, I'm all for that. So thanks for all of your calls and texts. Lots of them about that. John, anything by Queen? This person said September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Happy by Pharrell Williams. Yeah, a lot of you are saying that. Somebody else texted in, and they said, hey, whatever happened to the follow-up to the Real ID that you guys were going to do? Well, we did. And we posted that on my Facebook page. About 50 questions that you all sent in, we sent to the Secretary of State's office. And asked them to give us answers. We then typed them back up and posted them. And on my Facebook page, not only do you have the Q&A, maybe your Q is there with an A, but we've also got the link to the audio of the interview we did where we discussed these issues a little more fully. So if you've got frustrations or questions about getting your real ID and you've got 11 months to do it, and one of the tips is get there before they open the doors. Get there before they open the doors. If you wait till after lunch, you might not get it that day. And then when you do get it, you got to wait a couple of weeks. And if it doesn't show up after a couple of weeks, there's a phone number you can call, and all of that's on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. Hey, Mark, you're on WGN Radio. What can I do for you, sir?
Well, I'm going to give you a bonus first, courtesy of Nick DiGilio, and that would be Stevie Wonder's Don't You Worry About a Thing. And then the one I called in with was two versions of Here Comes the Sun, the original by the Beatles and one by Richie Havens.
I don't know, the second one. Pretty good, huh?
Oh, it's a perky one.
And how do you know that about Nick, too? Was Nick talking about this
because
as well?
Because he mentions it a lot on his show.
What's that?
Stevie Wonder, Don't You Worry About a Thing.
Yeah. You know, if you think about it, a lot of the stuff, when he was little Stevie and then threw songs in the key of life, I mean, so much of his songbook just puts you in a good mood. Don't you agree?
Oh, the first one he did, Fingertips, will really get you revved up.
How about that? Hey, I'm glad you called. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us, Mark.
Yeah.
Have a good day. Walking on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves, What a Feeling, Irene Cara. See, this is the thing. I was a disc jockey once upon a time. I had to play What a Feeling by Irene Cara, and I don't want to hear it anymore. Forever in Blue Jeans by Neil Diamond. Earth, Wind, and Fire, Let's Groove. Ain't Still Stopping Us Now, and stuff like that. More Queen songs, Producer Elif. Are you priming the pump for me on this one? Are you literally just putting the Queen songs to the front? Yes or no? That would be a no?
No. Well, I didn't even notice. I just saw Don't Stop Me Now.
Don't Worry, Be Happy. Remember that one?
That one
annoyed some people.
Who's that by?
Bobby McFerrin.
Oh, okay.
There's a little song I wrote. Just might sing it note for note. Don't Worry, Be
Don't
Happy.
Don't Worry, Be Happy Now.
Thank you, Elif. John Paradise by The Dashboard by Meatloaf is a favorite pick-me-up song. Everybody's got their songs. Thank you for your text on all of that. Couple more calls on this? Okay, but then we'll move along. Hey, Joe, you're on WGN. What's the song for you, Joe? You're on the air.
Hi, John. Hey. I agree with you on Irene Cara, too.
Thank you.
The song Higher and Higher was a great one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no kidding.
That's the one I like the most, I think.
Yeah, I appreciate your call. Thanks for listening, Joe.
Okay, bye. Thanks.
Yeah, have a good day. Yeah, thank you, sir. Jan Sikowski is going to join us in a little bit. The North suburban Chicago area congresswoman. And there's two things that she's trying to get done with the bill that will make it easier for you to get marijuana everywhere. Oh, no. See, line four, you do? Steve, you're on WGN. What did you want to say?
I tell you, the best song since the Muppets turned 50. I'm 56 years old. There, I forget which Muppet said it. My mom would plop me in front of the TV, and we would sit there, and they'd go, doo-doo-doo-doo, ba-ba-da-da-da, doo-doo-doo-doo, ba-ba-da-da. And that's my go-to song. I'll sing that in my plow truck, and people look at me like I'm a nut.
You drive a plow, do you?
Yes, that's part of my job, yeah.
For the city, like you're a private contractor?
No, for the city, for a township.
Yeah, no kidding. So you've probably been out, what, twice this year already?
Twice this year.
Which is kind of early. That's a lot for before Thanksgiving, isn't it?
It's very early.
And just take me for a ride in the cab for a second. What would surprise me if I was in the cab one night with you driving the plow?
How many people do not turn on their lights? How many people have white vehicles that don't turn on their lights or black vehicles that don't turn on their lights? And people that park in the street and have no consideration.
You ever smack some of them with your plow?
Not on purpose. I've been shot at, too.
Why?
Because I plowed somebody's driveway in and they shot at my window.
They came out and literally pulled a gun and shot at you?
With a BB gun, but yes, they did.
What did you do then?
I called the police, and they actually arrested him.
Yeah, no kidding. And the guy said it's just a BB gun. A, you don't know that, and I suppose it's illegal to shoot somebody with a BB gun. I hope it is.
Well, it scares you.
Well, that's the thing. I was going to say, what's the second thing you did? Because I know the first thing you did after the guy pulled out a gun and shot at you. Oh, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, you have a good day, and drive safely, my friend.
You too. Thank you, King Jen.
Yeah, I appreciate you tuning in. Frank, what did you want to say? You're on WGN Radio. Hi, Frank. How are you?
Good, John. Ever since I was a kid, every time I hear the opening theme song to Laverne and Shirley, I have to sing along, and it puts me in a great mood, even if I may be in a very poor mood.
I'm trying to. I was not a big fan of that show. I know the show, but I don't. How's the theme song go?
It goes, give us any chance, we'll take it. Read us any rule, we'll break it. We're gonna make our dreams come true. Doing it our way.
Hey, Frank.
Nothing's gonna stop us now.
Frank.
You know the rest. That's right, John.
Now I remember the song. Well, I'm glad that makes
there you go.
I'm glad that makes you happy, Frank.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you have a good day. All right, let's say hi to Jan Schakowsky, the congresswoman from the area. I just have a couple questions about this thing. It's kind of an itch I need to scratch. Thank you, Producer Elif. Ain't Too Proud to Beg by the... Sir Duke. Okay, Ain't Too Proud to Beg, that's the temptation. Sir Duke, Stevie Wonder, no kidding. Low Rider by War. Now, that's the funny one. Starland Vocal Band, Afternoon Delight. Again, one of those songs that may make you happy and might make other people crazy.
This is the pile of steaming you-know-what that the 2019 100-year season of the Bears has been reduced to.
This game was a joke, my friend.
On the sideline, Trubisky and Nagy having a moment. Nagy putting his arms around the quarterback.
It looked like he was crying. Dan and I were looking. I said,
He might have been.
I hope he wasn't crying. I mean, there's no crying in football.
Our offense is set up not to score touchdowns. Let me say it again. Not to score touchdowns.
There's no crying in football, but I think he was crying on the sidelines.
Now, the last time I checked, there's four downs. When you're on offense, you have four downs.
I think Trubisky was crying.
Okay.
I think he was crying on the sidelines. So our kicker is, what would you call it? An equal opportunity misser. He misses them left and right. I'm telling you,
sometimes
this is nuts.
Dan, I have your back. And I've got everybody's back here.
Thank you, Omi.
You love me, I love you guys.
You are a good-looking guy. And I'm a good-looking guy.
We're all three good-looking guys.
I have WGN's back, and we love them all because we all work together because everybody's got everybody's back. Will you get rid of this kid?
Gentlemen,
been real.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's the unfortunate thing. It is real.
Post-game last night, I heard on WGN Radio, live from a jazz lounge in Lockport, three Grabowskis, Hampton, Carmen, Obradovich, lamenting the state of the Chicago Bears. This is a headline from Forbes.com. Vote to federally legalize marijuana planned in the Congress. It's been a conundrum for me, and I'm not exactly sure if this is the fix for it, but how is it that marijuana is going to be legal in Illinois, but still not federally legal? Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky's on the phone, and I think she has something to do with this. Congresswoman, it's John. You're on WGN. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us. You didn't watch the Bears game over the weekend by any chance, did you?
I didn't. I'm sorry.
No, you are wise. You are wise.
Not pretty, huh?
Yeah. Hey, listen, so am I right? Is this going to make marijuana legally nationally, like at the federal level?
That's exactly right. It's a bill that we're going to mark up, that is, that we're going to have a vote on it in the Energy and Commerce, in the Judiciary Committee on Wednesday. And this is a bill called the MORE Act. And like many things that we do around here, that's an acronym for the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act. The big things that it does are it removes the marijuana from the Controlled Substance Act, which is really important. And it also allows for the expungement of the sentences in criminal cases that would, was part of the war on drugs, and lots of people were caught up in that, and this would be able to expunge their convictions.
Like we did in Cook County, right? Yeah, I mean, my understanding is that has happened. I know it was the plan.
It has happened. Here's the thing, that we have not had any national legislation. So in many states that have legalized cannabis, there's been this conflict with the federal law. So the feds can come in and try and enforce against the use and the sales of marijuana, making it impossible, for example, to use banks in places because you couldn't use the federal banking system. So this would certainly smooth out. Local jurisdictions could still make decisions, as many have. Some of the municipalities in my district on the north side have banned the sale of marijuana. They don't want it in their towns, but it would create this national overview, really, of what are the options for communities, and really help, I think, when it comes to the criminal justice system that has so unfairly targeted communities of color. And so many people that are in jail even now because they had, even just small quantities
of
marijuana.
Would this free some people that are currently incarcerated?
I don't know if it doesn't automatically free them. It would send them back to the justice system, but they would be eligible for expungement and actually resentencing in some cases.
Well, if the law passed, is it saying that recreational marijuana is legal in all 50 states or can be legal in all 50 states?
It can't. I think the word "can be" is really important. For example, and communities can make decisions too.
Yeah.
In Skokie, for example, they passed an ordinance making medical marijuana legal, so it wouldn't necessarily be sold other than the medical marijuana in that community. But it also sets up an opportunity trust fund that would actually direct some money, a community reinvestment grant fund that would help communities that many have been ravaged by the number of people people, again, mostly communities of color, and it would include job training, reentry services, reentry from prison, legal aid, literacy, all kinds of youth recreation, mentoring, substance abuse treatment. I think one of the really important things is that acknowledges that over the years, the failed war on drugs has had a very high toll on lots of individuals around our country. Not to mention that it would be a revenue source for a lot of states and communities.
I have some specific questions. For instance, does this mean if I buy marijuana in Colorado and it's also recreational pot is legal in Illinois, would I be able to drive it across state lines that way then?
Would you be able to drive it across state
lines? Because it's no longer a federally controlled substance, so I'm
thinking... Yeah, you would be able to, actually.
Would I be able to use a credit card?
Now, you know, Illinois, by the way, it has a limit of basically 1 ounce.
Yeah.
Is legal in the state of Illinois, which isn't a hell of a lot of quantity, but...
Well, I wouldn't know, but would I be able to use a credit card to purchase pot at a recreational dispensary then?
I think you would be able to use a credit card.
Because I know there are some limits on, you're right, the use of federally insured banks, because it's a federally controlled substance. So it's been difficult for these operators and to some degree their customers to make the purchases. There's a lot of cash laying around.
Exactly, which makes it actually dangerous as well. Illinois and actually a city ordinance are going to go into effect on January 2nd, which, you know, makes some important changes for us.
Is this this is a bill, Jan, right? It's not a law yet. What are the chances of this? What can you tell me about that?
Well, we do have a Senate sponsor. Kamala Harris is sponsoring the bill in the Senate. The Senate has been, you know, we've passed in the House over 300 bills, and they're important bills and would help people in so many different ways. But right now, Mitch McConnell, who calls himself the Grim Reaper, because he's says that anything coming from the House is done on arrival. We may have a problem. We only have one Republican co-sponsor in the House. Matt Gaetz is a co-sponsor, I think it's important, especially the parts that deal with the criminal justice system and making whole people who have been incarcerated and their lives disrupted because of arrest, is a really important part of this bill. The Senate has had in the past more interest in criminal justice reform, so, you know, maybe we can get at least a portion of the bill that takes away the sting of being illegal.
I'm out of time. Are you on the judiciary? You're on the Judiciary Committee, right?
No, I'm not on the Judiciary Committee. I feel pretty confident that it's going to come out of Judiciary on Wednesday, and then go to the full House. The politics has really changed around the issue of marijuana, and you know, Lori Lightfoot, for example, wants to make sure that that juveniles are reduced penalties for marijuana in Chicago, and that juveniles are not caught up in the system as well.
Well, I'm all for that, and it just seems to me like we've been so inconsistent about policies, state, local, and federal, that it makes sense to line them up. I'm out of time today, Congresswoman, but let's connect and follow this bill down the road, okay?
I think it's going to pass, and we can talk again. Thank you.
Thanks, Jan Schakowsky. Hey, thanks for listening to my podcast. This is John Williams. I'm live weekdays from 1 to 3. And remember, our Mincing Rascals podcast drops Thursdays at 5. The Rascals is a round table of talkers and journalists. This year, judged best in the state by the Illinois Broadcasters Association.